Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jingle Bell vibes only. It's literally December 25th, so we're re-releasing an episode. Obviously, the new Mean Girls musical is coming out in January, so here is our review of the original 2004 Mean Girls with Lindsay and Rachel to get us all up to speed before seeing the remake. Happy holidays. Enjoy.
Ramble.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Yeah,
welcome
to
Guilty Pleasures. McAdams Mania continues this week. We're talking about Mean Girls.
A classic.
And we're wearing pink. Kelsey, that is the most vibrant pink I've ever seen in my life.
I don't fuck around when it comes to Mean Girls.
It's so pink that it honestly looks like Garrick's wearing a white shirt.
It does look like I'm wearing
like you.
I like how this is your pink, though. Mm-hmm. It fits you.
You dragged him to filth. And I am wearing,
what are you
of course,
wearing, Zachy?
The Familia Guilty Pleasures shirt in our hot pink. God, this shirt fucking slaps.
It looks so cool. It's like a Miami Day Glow color pink with Familia, and it says Guilty Pleasures with a pink car. Go
Did you say
order it.
Miami Day Glow?
Yeah, I didn't know Day Glow. Cool. Kelsey said it, and I had to look it up, and it's a quality of color, and I'm a big fan.
I love it.
There you go.
Yours is more Day Glow from what I've seen online.
Yeah, this is Day Glow.
We wanted this to be Day Glow. Yeah. This is somewhere in between.
We had to be respectable.
What a fun word to say, Day Glow.
Pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah,
really
if you look good. Up the quality of Day Glow, it's kind of like highlighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mean Girls, we're doing my Super Bowl.
This movie.
This is probably my most favorite episode we've ever done.
Wowie. I mean, this was a highly requested episode for a long time, yeah. and we put it off because I was like, I didn't know what there was to say about it. It's a great movie, but we're going to say a lot of stuff, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be a great episode because we're really good at this.
And it's McAdams Mania. Like, why wouldn't we do it?
It would be criminal to not talk about perhaps the most iconic McAdams character, Miss Regina George. If you don't know, this month at Guilty Pleasures is McAdams Mania. We're doing four episodes celebrating the wonderful Rachel McAdams. And yeah, today we're talking about Regina George.
I mean, do we even just give a synopsis? Mean Girls is the new dork loser trying to fit in high school. Can she take down the plastics, or will she become one of them?
Yeah,
this
good.
Is Mean That's Girls. Wow.
Nice.
Do you guys remember, like, do you remember anything about this movie coming out? Like,
absolutely.
What was your experience?
I saw this in theaters, and I cite Mean Girls along with Ocean's 11, where when I was growing up, I just was like, oh, I thought that movies were just always supposed to be this good. And Mean Girls is one of those movies where it is a genre film. Like, this is a teen girl comedy. Mm-hmm. And so we have in our mind what that's supposed to be. We've done Sleepover on this show, which I adore. Came out the same year as Mean Girls. And for a long time, teen girl comedies were seen as lesser.
Gauche.
Yeah.
Gauche. Very nice. It's similar to the way that Ocean's 11, like, oh, that's like a action-y heist movie? Like, that's not going to be. But this is just an expertly, perfectly God-tier. Executed, God-tier version of it.
I'm gonna be real.
Ooh.
I think.
I don't like your tone.
Yeah, I know. I think that
what's happening.
This is because of the brilliance of Tina Fey.
Yes,
I don't think that Tina Fey has written a bad thing. If I'm being honest,
sure.
It is always in line with what she does. From this to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt to 30 Rock, bangers, and it is a banger, and it is a fucking neat and concise script.
And
every
her
time.
Work when she was the head writer on SNL. She
of
is
course,
a
SNL.
You think of her as a performer. Phenomenal writer. Mm-hmm. Better writer than she is performer.
And did you guys know that this is adapted from a book?
I did, and I looked into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'll fuck it. Fun fact right out the gate.
Oh. Yeah.
So this was based on a book, and I don't have
Queen
the title.
Bees and Wannabes.
Thank you. But that is an unscripted book. It's about, you know, high school. And so Tina took that. said, I think that there would be a great movie in here, but she still,
yeah,
she came up with the whole plot, all the characters, yeah, everything in this movie is original.
Yeah. Queen Bees and Wannabes was actually made for parents to like understand the ways
how
of
funny.
High school,
so fun.
Like the psychology of high school. Like we're so fucked up that they were like, the parents need a guidebook, like a documentary for reading.
That's so fun. It's so fun, and I hate to compare her to other creatives, but in the same way that Phil Miller and Chris Lord took Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and turned it into something completely different and completely hilarious and can stand on its own, right? She did that with this book, and I want to say, like, created an iconic
genre defining
piece of art. Yeah.
This is that.
Yeah.
What was it, Kelsey, for you? I assume you saw it in theaters.
This was one that you not only went and saw once with your friends, you grabbed your next group of friends, saw it again.
Nice.
You rented it when it came out.
Yep.
You got it on DVD. You modeled your outfits after it. You started to parody it in your life. You used the phrases. I mean, the amount of effort and money I put into outfits to try and look like some of these girls, I mean, it came out in
2004.
So I was freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Going, who am I? What's my identity? Mean girls will be my identity. I'm going to try and dress like them and talk like them. And like, it was just such...
You got the wrong takeaway from the movie.
Yeah, no. Fully, this made me want to go like more into like popular girl cliques and like having...
Kelsey stopped watching around the halfway point.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to be like Katie.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a plastic.
We're trying to like make up rules for like our girl gang. Like we had a nickname. We were... composed of three boys and two girls in our clique in high school, and we were called the Rock Stars.
You told me this story.
So funny.
Yeah, so you guys
told
know this.
Story, yeah.
So like, we tried to have like an apparel and like a look to us.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any dress codes?
Do you have any pictures?
We were Famous Stars and Straps or Bape. Like, yes, I'm sure.
I'm sorry. This is a very rich group of people, because last time I checked, Bape is very expensive.
It was not back in the day. This was like back when Ed Hardy reigned supreme.
I remember when Bape first came out. It's like, hey, it's this new trend,
this
or
like
new thing from
wear.
Japan. It's going to be cool.
It was not as expensive. Now it's stupid.
It was
expensive.
Still expensive,
yeah.
But not what it is now.
Yeah, not what it is now, but I still remember it being like inaccessible for me in high school.
Yep. Well, yeah, it came from the drug money.
Got it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to go. Anyway. This movie, to this day, though, is still something I will stop and watch when it's on. I will go to the events of it when it's on. I will go to the screenings of it when it's on.
Did you watch the play?
Or the musical?
I have listened through it, but I think it came out right as the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see it. But I've heard all the songs and music.
I hear it's fantastic.
So yeah.
I saw it. It's fun. They're making a movie of it.
And our girl Renee Rapp was Regina George from Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
But yeah, this movie goes down in starting its own genre of comedy that so many have tried to follow since.
Did Garrick at your school... Well, okay, let's talk about the movie a little bit.
No. What is the question?
Okay. At your school, did you have did your popular group have names?
Everybody had like different cliques,
yeah.
I feel like. It wasn't like this is the popular group of people. They were for sure there. But there was different like... gangs, I want to say, in like a weird way. Like I remember, there's like the Outstanding O's and like the Public Max.
I mean,
and
you
shit
did
like
have
that.
Names.
Yeah, no, they had names.
They had fucking names.
But I don't know if it was like, this is the popular group.
Everyone thought they were the popular group.
Everybody
too.
Thought they were the popular group.
Like the football players thought they were it. The basketball guys thought they were it.
But it wasn't. It wasn't
the
like
boys.
Something that someone else came up with. They were naming themselves.
Ooh.
I've talked about this, I think, on Tripod, but maybe not here. That the popular hot girls in my school. It was Jazz, because their names were Jenny, Ariel, Sally, Jenny, Allie,
you
whatever.
You talk about like this on Sleepover.
It's so funny to me. But this movie does so much right, and the first thing that it brought back to me, and I'm a sucker, Clueless does it, this movie does it, anytime a movie brings you through the cliques in the school, it brought back the... defining trauma of my adolescence, which is the cool kids table.
It is
still a wound, and I got over it a little bit by high school. I've never gotten over it.
No.
I'm still not over it. But in middle school, there were for the boys, there were two tables, but really, there was one table. Mm-hmm. There was the cool kids table, and there was the spillover table.
Oh. Yeah.
And I remember sitting like back to back with the cool kids table and like laughing loudly to join the conversation behind me, but you're not part of it. You're at the spillover table.
Damn.
But like you're trying to like give your energy to the fucking Regina Georges behind you.
I still have dreams about going to my high school cafeteria and finding a seat. Like that, it still follows me into like recently.
You hear that, kids? It doesn't get better.
Did you guys also have like lunch period one and lunch period two?
Yeah.
So like every year it was like a fucking shit show Yahtzee scramble of like where were you going to get placed? And for us, it was always the seniors. Always the seniors were the coolest table.
So our always the seniors is the coolest table. But our so the way that our this cafeteria, I guess, was set up. There was like benches. It was outside. Of course, I'm from California.
Wow. That's right.
It's outside. And then it would like spill over into like the quad or like a walking area or whatever. So kids would be, the popular kids would be sitting on the tables.
Of course.
Sitting on the tables, of course, looking out at the quad. And then
they're higher above everybody.
And then the like unpopular kids would be actually sitting at the table behind it. So like, you're just looking at people's butts as you're eating. So it was a very...
They had their fucking backs to
them. Yeah. Oh, so that's where harsh. You would sit. And,
there was also like levels of good and bad cool kids. Mm-hmm. Like the bad kids like us, we were like the drugs, the money, the popular... And then there were like the good kids who were like the varsity players and like... You know, they won class president and stuff. So there was like different levels of it too.
Yeah, there's that one scene at the beginning of Booksmart where you're just like the way that that fucking rung true in my high school, where you're looking at all these popular kids and you're just like, man, they're really like partying. I bet they didn't get into good schools. They all got into good schools. Every fucking single one of them. And you're just sitting there like, oh God, I wasted my life. They got into better schools and most of them went to USC or UCLA.
And they partied.
And they partied.
And they hooked up.
And they hooked up.
Fuck.
Yeah. It hurts me to this day.
I'm a virgin and I'm going to Emerson.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even get into a fucking good school. It hurts. Anyway.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny about this movie too is like,
gonna like go on my tombstone.
Yeah. I wasted my high school years.
It's like this should be us like talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
This should be us being like this.
Well, I'm going to
is the
I'm
Lohan
going to.
Movie,
I'm going
which
to.
Like yes,
I'm going to.
She is
don't
the
you put my Lilo
she
down.
Is the
I'm not vehicle. Gonna put her down.
She is the vehicle that introduces us to Regina George, played by the great Rachel McAdams, to Amanda Seyfried, to Lizzie Kaplan, to all of these phenomenal...
Tina Fey as the
Tina
teacher.
Faye, to all of these amazing actors, and you're just like, damn, they're washing her. If I'm being honest, they are washing her.
She plays the straight man in this that like goes a little kooky, but everyone else in this is a caricature of... the tropey teen stereotype.
And is perfect. I mean, let's give some love.
I will say that they are, again, with it being a genre-defining thing, everything after is trying to be their caricatures. I think that they weren't caricatures when it came out. I think that they
were caricatures. The way you're saying that word is so funny.
He's trying so hard to say it right, too, that he's
this is like a Tupperware moment.
Yeah, I'm just trying to just be like, all right, I don't use this word in my regular
it's
vernacular.
It's that thing where you know a word when you see it written, but you never actually said it out loud,
no.
And I'm going to say it really fast and hope that no one notices it.
Caricatures.
Caricatures?
Caricatures. It's caricatures. I'm sorry, caricatures?
Yeah, but
not
that
anymore.
Was funny.
Not anymore,
all,
it isn't.
We all were just going to try and like keep going, but we couldn't.
We couldn't.
Y'all
we
would
couldn't.
Be losing
and by
your
the
mind.
Way, for the rest of time, it's caricatures.
It's caricatures. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's correct.
Caricatures.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's how you said it.
I think, yeah, caricature. I think that they weren't caricatures when they came out. I thought they were like complex characters. And then everybody was just like, well, we have to make it a mean girl.
We need a Regina.
Like,
we need a Seyfried.
We need
a...
Yeah.
Since this is McAdams Mania, shall we begin with the queen herself? Yeah, literally carried in by like seven buff men.
Minions.
Do you know that this movie came out the same year as The Notebook?
Yes, it did.
The same.
The reason why she is wearing a blonde wig is because she could not change her hair color for The Notebook.
What?
She's the greatest actress of all time.
That's insane. That is insane. To be filming those two things at the same time, I feel if you're not trying to change your hair color, that's like. What's my guy that played Superman? Oh, fuck.
Henry Cavill with the mustache.
I fucking love Henry Cavill. But him and the mustache. They had to digitally edit out the mustache for the...
Guess how old she was.
She was young. I'm going to guess, like, what, 24?
You got to
guess. 23? 21?
26.
Damn.
Wow. Older.
Damn. That's not older.
I mean, for playing a high schooler.
She's old
as fuck. Yeah, right. She's
also playing a 17-year-old in
that's
The Notebook.
That's CW young, so...
Yeah.
She is... just so funny and vicious and mean, but like lovably mean, where I just enjoy watching her. The way that you get to see her play mind games with the other characters.
Because it's not your typical quote-unquote dumb blonde at all.
Oh,
this is a conniving, smart person.
The long blonde hair is a cover.
This is a... serial killer.
Yes.
If I'm being honest,
evil.
This is somebody who does the same type of conniving Moriarty type of evil deeds, but just in a high school venue.
And you don't get to see her scream until the peak of her collapse.
Breakdown, yeah.
Which for a villain is so hard to do when she's just biting and she's got this sort of sing-songy voice and everything
I love
she
your
says
bracelet.
Is matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get to learn that high school girls are the fucking scariest creatures of all goddamn time.
Terrifying. Just going off of that scream scene, when she does that, this whole thing happens with her and she's like... she's been purposefully sabotaging my life.
Everyone knows every detail of this movie.
We're not spoiling
anything. Okay, I'm sorry.
Calteen bars, the skanks,
the
boyfriend, the hot bod, everything has been taken from her.
So in that screen scene, her screaming and then going to the burn book, something that you have been threaded in as it's like, this is where we vent, all of that stuff. She goes in, vents, and then she puts her own face down. About all of these mean things that happen.
You
and you're just like, oh, fuck, what is she? What is she plotting?
Skank is a fugly slut.
So for someone.
Do not trust her.
Yeah, for someone to do that level of
mastery
in a time of crisis, that is an evil fucking person.
The look she gives when she lifts it up and she's breathing heavily and she knows she's done the greatest trick of them all, that she's about to bring them all down with her.
Oh, the first scene where Regina meets Katie and she sits down, it's the iconic, I love your bracelet, where is it from?
Katie.
I thought she pronounces it Katie, though.
She does. She goes, I'm going to call you Katie.
Oh, Katie. I like that. Okay. Wait, if you're from Africa, why are you white?
So
you get this just incredible scene, but Regina says, you're pretty. Oh, thank you. So you agree.
You think you're really pretty.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't think that I've ever seen a character more outwitted, more outmatched. This is like Hannibal Lecter meeting Clarice for the first time.
Yes.
This is...
The only thing you can compare it to are serial killer scenes.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And the interesting thing is... we really do believe, and I believe this. I believe she was really recruiting Caddy. Oh, she says, I'm going to call you Caddy. Her name is Kitty. Whatever. I think she really was recruiting her to be a part of the Plastics. I don't think she ever saw being undermined more harshly than she could undermine someone. I think she really did believe that Katy Herring was coming in to be an addition to the Plastics. She was going to control her. Yeah. She was going to be a minion to her.
A new toy.
But she did not think that she was going to bring them down.
And you don't think that she was bringing in Katy as like a joke, right? No, she let this girl into her world.
I genuinely think she was like, we can model her. We can mold her into be what we want her to be. We can control her.
Shut up. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
It's just, I want to have Regina George and Loki in a room and watch Loki crumble to dust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I genuinely don't know that I could think of a single film character that could stand toe-to-toe with her.
Boo, you whore.
That's the other thing is watching this movie, my notes are worthless because they're just all quotes.
Lines.
Mm-hmm. And I knew this movie was good. Can I make an admission?
Yeah.
I was a little nervous. I was like, I hope this movie holds up. Oh. I knew that there would be some things that have aged not well, and we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But comedy is very of its time. It's very hard to have a comedy that plays just as well 20 years later, and this absolutely does.
Is butter a carb?
It is. I mean, mm-hmm. I could go all day. Oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your work. That's just like the rules of feminism.
That's Damien.
Yeah. Every line.
Get in, losers. We're going shopping.
We say that every day.
It is. I think that this movie.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah. I think that this movie does.
She doesn't even go here.
It has like the Beatles effect, where if you go back and listen to a lot of pop culture songs and things that are in commercials that have been covered, you find out it's like, oh, this was originally done by the Beatles. Oh my God, I didn't know that. And then you watch this movie and you're like, oh, that's why people say that. That's why people say this. This is where this comes from. And for you to do that in 2004 and it not being like a movie like fucking Casablanca or some shit is insane. I think that for you to be able to quote and see so many references from something that is kind of recent.
And everybody gets it.
Everybody gets it.
Even nerds.
She doesn't even go here.
Twitter.
Like the fact that I say that
you will
all the
get
time,
chlamydia,
all the time.
And you will die.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys fuck with the band Wet Leg, which if you don't, you should listen to Wet Leg. They rock.
Hot music wreck coming from our musical god, Zach.
In the song Chaise Longue, they have a line, is your muffin buttered?
Ugh.
Would you like us to assign someone to butter your muffin?
There you go.
And I'm like, wait, and then they go, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse. And I forgot that was
Girls.
In this movie.
Caddy here, or Regina George wore army pants and flip-flops, so I wore army pants and flip-flops.
It's not my fault. I have a wide set and a heavy...
a heavy flow.
Oh, no, I can't help it if I have a wide flow and a heavy set vagina.
Yep.
The amount to which I quote that...
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't have a vagina.
What?
Yeah.
But I say that a lot.
It's great. We will keep you here all night. We can only keep them here till 4.
We will keep you here till four.
Fucking good. It's just good. It's just so well written.
I'm not like normal moms. I'm a cool mom.
I'm a cool mom.
You girls keep me young.
Oh my God.
Rocking around the Christmas tree. I've seen that parody.
You go, Glenn Coco.
You go, Glenn Coco.
That I think
I'm
is the number
the
one. My number one line.
Banging the girl on the bathroom floor. Wasn't like Jackie. She knows me. You'd be screaming, oh, Kevin G!
Oh, Kevin G!
I think this might be, like,
the
this
most
might
quotable
be one
movie
of the most
God
quotable movies
tier.
Ever.
One of the most
God
quotable
tier.
Movies
crazy.
Of all time. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those lines just, like, rung something deep inside of you.
100%.
Exactly.
I mean, I know exactly where they are. I know exactly what the frame looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire movie is so iconic. And I think you're right, Garrick. It's like... It is this historical thing where all the rom-coms afterward, all the movies about high school afterward are doing their variation on this.
Yeah. We watched Due Revenge, which we adored.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just an echo of this movie.
Yeah.
Right.
If we loved it.
It was the closest I had seen something come since Mean Girls, where I was like, this knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jingle Bell Rock.
Ugh.
It will never not be iconic. Mm-hmm. That scene is... really excellent.
Yep.
It's good. And it was one of those where I'm like, do we just remember this because of like the costumes and whatever? No, it's a great scene.
It's a really good scene. I still remember that thigh slap to this day.
Oh,
that thigh slap.
And it
just
exactly.
sounds like a fucking whip. And
that
you watch
gif?
Their parents just go, oh, God.
Ooh.
He's just shocked at the fact that their little girl is up there.
But isn't that,
that
so
thing.
True that, like, the character Amy Poehler plays, which, like, by the way, I love that Tina Fey was like, put my best friend in this movie as the mom who gets her nipples shot off by a chihuahua.
Yeah.
It's like the fact that you also cover, you know, the mom who's way too cool that lets the kids drink there. Then you have like the helicopter parents, like Caddy's family, like don't ever throw a party. It's like they had it all.
I also love Tina Fey's role in it, where it just kind of feels like she is watching herself make the mistakes that she made in high school.
Yeah.
And it's such a fun and cute, like, comparison or parallel between the two of them, where she's just like, I'm really disappointed in you. I was really hoping the best for you and all of that. And knowing that she's the writer of the movie, it makes it feel a little bit more.
And there's some good lessons in there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a ton of good lessons.
My father, the inventor of toaster strudel. Sorry, I'm just going to keep
go for it.
Interrupting
go for
with
it.
Quotes.
I think we should have a rule that at any point in this episode, you can interrupt with a quote if you remember one.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Fair enough.
And none for Gretchen Wieners.
No. Seeing a teacher outside of school is like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. That one I still say to this day.
It was upsetting to me watching that I am at the point in my life where I did relate most to Tina Fey's character, and that was a dark realization.
Yeah.
How about I answer when my shirt isn't see-through? Almost as mad as the fact that I get when I realize my sister named my nephew Anthony.
How did you feel about Tina wrote in a little boobage shot for her, right, to start the movie?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, by the way, I got it.
I'm a hot teacher, but I'm not your fucking friend.
Because
I'm a pusher, Katie. I push people. I push my ex-husband, and now I'm going to push you.
Listen, man, Tina Fey bad as hell, bro.
She
like,
is.
I don't know what else to say.
If you've never read her book, highly recommend.
Oh, really? What is it?
Bossy Pants.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
And she tells an incredible story in that made me fall in love with her. Or maybe it was Amy Poehler's book talking about Tina Fey. Anyway, there's a story where she's working at SNL. She's at the writer's room for the first time.
Yep.
And she makes a really gross, like, you know, gross joke for a girl. And Jimmy Fallon goes, ew, I don't like that. And she goes, I don't fucking care if you like it. That was like their first day ever meeting.
Ooh,
and everyone said the room just went completely fucking silent. And everyone was like, from that day on, everyone respected you.
Wow.
I don't fucking care if you like it.
Say the fucking word.
Ooh, can you imagine? You can just see Jimmy Fallon going, ew, I don't like that. I don't fucking care if you like it.
You know that she's cool too because, like, if you compare her to that class of SNL as well, she has just stuck to the projects that she thinks is dope.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Say crack one more time. Crack.
We forgot one of the best.
What?
You can't sit with us.
Oh my God. The podcast.
It's a podcast.
Ugh, so good. I am watching this. I miss house parties.
Oh, when I tell you that was my house, was my house. A keg in the tub.
You lucky son of a bitch.
A keg or two. We were on a cul-de-sac, so there was ample parking. We backed up to the only wooded conservation in our entire like city, so there was no one behind us, no one to call the cops on us. We were bad, bad girls. Katie, tell him you look sexy with his hair pushed back. You look sexy with your hair pushed back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I miss house parties. I miss not being able to go to house parties they were mostly on Friday nights and my family.
What were you doing Friday nights?
So I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, so we observed the Shabbat, Sabbath.
You know, I think about this too. So I don't fucking do Sabbath. I don't do anything remotely religious. But the idea of having one day where there's no technology, I'm like, yeah, I probably need that.
Yeah, it's just like something to break up the days, I think, because not working on a weekend is what you definitely need.
Yeah, I don't do that, but I definitely need it.
Yeah.
But then it all becomes extremism, and they like don't push elevator buttons. Yeah, I'm like, that's just push the fucking button, bro.
That's where it becomes a burden. That's where I was like out.
Anywhoozle. Yeah. Anyway. We talked about the whole cast, but let's give them each a moment for their flowers. Amanda Seyfried as, what's her character's name? It's not Gretchen. It's
Donald.
It's Oh my God, are we all having a brain
fart? No one look it up.
Okay, first one to get it.
Gretchen Wieners.
Katie Herring, Regina George.
And audience, if you know it, I want you to scream at us. I want you to scream and say, you stupid little guilty whores.
And she just she's like, I'm in the boobs.
My boobs can tell when it's raining.
I have like ESPN
amazing.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, anyway.
Oh my God. Nope, who's going to be the first one to remember?
We're never going
to
know.
No TikTok.
Karen.
There you go.
Nice.
The original Karen. Nice.
Yeah. Kelsey, you get another bite of popcorn.
Yay. Thanks, guys. I haven't eaten today.
She is just the perfect dummy. Amanda Seyfried, I'm thrilled now that she won an Emmy. Like, people are like, okay, cool. We fucks with her.
Yeah.
But I've loved her since Veronica Mars. That's my, what's her name in that? I was thinking about the other day.
Well, I mean, even still, it's so, her trajectory is so cool. I was looking up, I don't know if you guys know this, but on IMDb, they rate the popularity of
Star Meter.
The Star Meter.
Yeah, what are you at?
I don't know.
If we look all of ourselves up right now, I feel real bad.
But she is at number 4.
What?
Yeah.
What? Amanda Seyfried?
That's, by the way, incorrect.
You love Lady Black Mambazo.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when you win...
There's no way that she's the 4th most famous person.
She is at number 4. I think that...
It changes every day, no?
I love that.
It does change every day, but it's just like if... Based off of your online references and all that stuff.
Hell yeah. Way to go, Amanda Seyfried.
Who do you think is number 1?
Jennifer Lawrence.
No. Okay, it's
Why
right now...
Why are you smiling? He's smiling, so it's gotta be someone we love. Stanley Tucci.
No.
I was thinking like Ryan Gosling or the something Rock? Because of...
Anna Kendrick.
Are we close? Yeah. How far are we?
We got to think right now.
How far away are we? Give us a clue.
Pretty far.
Give us a clue. One word.
No.
Come on.
No. Is it? Oh, it's Chris Pratt.
It's none of the Chris's.
Is it a woman?
It's a man.
No,
it's
give
a
us
guy
another
in
clue.
A movie. Has it come out yet?
No, it's a series. Both series have come
Timothée
out.
Timothée Chalamet.
No.
Jesse Plemons.
No. television series.
What network?
Huh?
What network?
It's television series.
Oh.
He's in a lot of television series.
Series.
He plays the same type of person in these series.
Bateman.
No.
Steve Carell.
No.
My God.
It's a series.
What's
it's
the
about
most popular
to come
thing
out.
Ever?
No, it is not about to come out. They have both come out.
Both.
Same type of character. Amazingly popular.
Amazingly popular.
Kieran Culkin.
You guys
Jeremy
are fucking,
Strong.
You guys are kidding. You gotta be fucking kidding.
Okay. Guys,
the
get
most
your fucking
popular,
shit
the most
together.
Zach is standing up now. He has walked away.
Change your thing. Gaten Matarazzo. No.
Most is it Gaten?
No.
I'm very upset.
I want to
give me a
clue.
Network. Eliminate one of the networks.
No.
Okay, tell me what network it's not. Is it a streamer or
it's
is it a network?
Disney Plus.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh my okay. God, is it Pedro Pascal?
It's Pedro Pascal.
Ah, duh.
Pedro Pascal.
Daddy, obviously.
It's so easy. It's
By
right
the way, Goofy
right.
Fat Ass has just been littered with Pedro Pascal.
Obviously, because we're human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was banned from the group chat, but that's awesome.
We're not banned. You went on maternity leave. By true. Maternity, I mean paternity.
That's right.
Well, did you know that Gretchen Wieners is the voice of Eliza Thornberry?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is a fun
I'm Eliza, and this is my crazy life.
Zach, you can come out now.
He found us.
Zachary, come sit in your chair.
I can't. I'm still upset by that game that we played.
That's
if you
crazy.
Cut it out,
we'll
this
cut out most of it.
Sense.
We're cutting out most
it
of it.
It won't make sense why I'm over here.
No, all the guilty horse will want to play. They're all screaming, Pedro!
Kara can't hear them.
What two series were you talking about?
The Last of Us and The Mandalorian. He's a dad in both of them.
Oh.
So you guys mentioned...
Your mom's chest hair.
Okay, I fell. You guys mentioned Lindsay Lohan, in a somewhat disparaging way, and I'm going to stand up for history.
All right.
I think that Lindsay Lohan is shockingly great. Oh. In this movie.
Okay.
And
I'm not saying, I'm also not saying she is bad.
No,
she is
I heard
great.
You. No, I heard both of you. And she Lindsay, is, if you're listening, I'm standing up for you and they won't.
Yeah. She is great in this movie. It's just, she is surrounded by people who are just
incredible.
Better. Who are just better.
She, but this is by far up. Her best mm-hmm. acting.
Oh, I mean, it's this and I Know Who Killed Me. tie for 1 and 2.
Herbie, Fully Loaded, people love.
Uh-huh. Herbie!
No, this is like,
Duh, I'm a mouse.
It's just when you meet her, she is this perfect, innocent little flower. And it is so incredible to me to know that she was railing lines of coke.
Oh, yeah.
And was able to convince us mm-hmm. of that character, mm-hmm. who I guess if I'm trying to remember, we knew her from The Parent Trap.
She was a big-breasted girl, and I think people liked that, you know?
Yeah, she was
not
top
the
heavy.
Conversation
yeah.
I was having.
She was top heavy.
And she wore a ponytail for the first half and like
we're talking about in
plaids.
Mean Girls, not in fucking Parent Trap.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. I said Parent Trap, and Kelsey said she was a big-breasted girl.
Yeah, so let's get that out of our minds.
But if I'm trying to remember, but was this
the next we hadn't, big one?
This was her breakout, obviously. Yeah. And yeah. I guess that maybe to us now it's more shocking to see her play mm-hmm. the innocent girl.
I don't see it as shocking at all. I think I still see her as that person. I honestly am just like, God, I really hope that you get back to that.
But here's the thing. 2005, honest. When this came out, was the tipping point of her starting to get into the Paris and Britney.
And so yeah. this is what I wonder is, yeah. were we actually shocked watching it of like, oh, damn, look at her, like,
yeah.
dress up.
I did she
start?
Sense,
did she start railing lines of coke after
at the premiere?
Yeah,
because she was still a big-breasted woman in this, and if she was railing lines of coke, she would have had that little itty bitty titty committee situation she had.
Oh, it burns it away.
Yeah,
just
coke makes you skinny,
but it takes away your titties.
Well, when you get thin, the first place that goes is fat, and your tits are fat,
damn.
And so is your butt.
That
guys,
is
don't do coke.
Don't
we
do
need
coke.
To address the biggest.
That's why
in this
I am flat chested as fuck.
The war on drugs is good, actually.
Yeah.
I don't hate you because you're fat. You're fat because I hate you.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know. That's why it's wild. This movie is wild.
Maybe we should address some of the guilts to this movie. There's not a few, but I think it's matters that we do.
Oh, let's talk about Jonathan Bennett, the guy who plays Aaron Samuels.
Yeah.
It's October 3rd. He is a, that's what you said, right?
What?
You said talk about some of the guilt?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
He was playing a straight guy. Yeah. He's gay.
He's gay.
Why is that a guilt?
That's not a guilt.
Come on! Give a straight guy a role! No.
Oh my God.
I joke, I kid.
Come on!
I joke, I kid.
Oh my God.
Give straight men the roles that they deserve.
They fucking can't get roles. You know how hard it is to be a straight white man in Hollywood. Gays are taking our roles.
These gay men playing straights.
That is the funniest
joke
you've ever
made. We're supposed to believe
them
kissing? Huh. I mean, it's just a piece of plastic anyway. Trang Pak? Coach Carr?
It's a shame to me that our hottie McHottie didn't have more roles after this because he's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he went, I think, the Lifetime route.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm like shook from how funny that was.
That was so funny.
Ooh.
Sorry.
I think the most frequented guilt of this film and of Tina Fey's au revoir is that she has some blind spots when it comes to race. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't rear its head as much, though you do have some. You have like the
girl from Africa joke being like the one black girl in the class.
The Asian slut stereotype. Yeah. And you saw that in some of her other work where there's a lot of yellow face
like
jokes,
Rock,
a lot of Asian jokes.
There's a lot of stuff in 30 Rock, there's a lot of stuff in Kimmy Schmidt. But it's always on the air of ignorance or naivete where it's just like, oh, I don't know how things work here. Mm. And so I'm just going to go about my day and just kind of call people out on things. So it's not forgivable in that sense, but it's of character.
Yeah, this one had less of it.
For sure, less of it.
To me, a lot of the race jokes landed. Like, if you're from Africa, why are you white?
Mm.
Fucking hilarious. Yeah. Katie walking up to a group of black girls and saying, Jumbo!
Jumbo.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that is so uncomfortable. Like, you are
course,
so stupid.
Yeah,
you're playing it under naivety. Yeah.
They do. Regina George drops the R word twice.
Several times.
But she's also the villain.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was watching it in my office, and Eugene was hanging out with me, and I was like, oh, she said the R word. And I'm like, well,
Back then.
In 2004.
People were dropping that shit.
People said that.
The most popular song by the Black Eyed Peas was a song where they used it a lot.
Yeah. So I'm like,
it was the chorus.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe we don't like this, and maybe this she doesn't stand for it. And just to make a film that feels accurately high school, you have to use the language that they used back then. But then they keep saying it. And I'm like, okay, you didn't have to keep saying it.
Yeah. But no, like, again, nobody saw it as such a slur back then. Mm-hmm. Not to, you know, defend
the usage of
the word.
No, we didn't have social media
word,
to, like, no one was advocating for that yet publicly in such a way that made us change our minds. The way that, like, gay, clearly we all knew what we were being offensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what, actually, this reminds me of another pleasure of the film is we're normally against voiceover, but I was thinking about how crucial the voiceover in this film is to making you love Katie.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of the moment where she goes, Damien, oh, he's too gay to function. Which
maybe
is
that was
she's
only
quoting
the day when Janice said it.
Yeah.
Right. And so you get these lines in her head where as she's being a bad person, the voiceover, she knows it and she wants to break free.
Yeah.
What?
It's inner monologue. If you're doing voiceover, at least have a bit attached to it or a gimmick attached to it that like pushes the story forward in a way that doesn't feel like it's cheating. Because it honestly, it really doesn't push the story forward. It's just letting you in on the character a little bit more. It's just like
it keeps us from fucking hating her.
Yeah, exactly.
If you took the voiceover out, we would despise.
Yeah,
Katie.
It's just like there's no reason to like her.
I want my picture back.
So funny.
What was that one?
That was
that's Damien driving away. Yeah. With Janice.
That scene. Okay. This is such a small, but Lizzie Kaplan comes and finds out that Katie's throwing
a party without them.
And she Damien's driving and just goes, I can't stop the car.
Yeah. My curfew is 11 p.m.
My curfew is at 1 a.m. It is 1:13.
Like, really intense, like. Friends fucking fighting.
I can't help
it
that you're in love with me or something.
And then he breaks.
Oh, no, you didn't.
What? See, that's the problem with you plastics. You got to look at yourself in the mirror, Katie. You're not pretending anymore. You are cold, hard plastic. And she has such a weird lisp.
I love it.
You can't forget it.
Just the game on top of that scene where it's like, what if Damien can't stop the car because it's past curfew?
Yeah.
That is such a good detail that most movies, they wouldn't have that. They would have her walk up. Lizzie Kaplan and Damien would walk up, Katie would run outside, and it would be shot, reverse shot, shot, reverse shot. They'd run away. Boring.
When you're coming from the Second City, I mean, and improv in general, everything has to have a game. Mm-hmm. Every scene has to have something on top of it that you're doing physically so that it makes it not boring. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if she had that scene or if she had written that scene into it, I brought up Second City because that's where Tina Fey studied, but if she just had them talking, that as a sketch, as an improv game, it would like feel stupid and people would be like, why am I watching this at all? Mm-hmm. You should be, you know, having some type of activity going on. And so, let's have them keep driving or something. Like, why not? You know, why not throw a game into every scene and let's just see how they play out? Mm.
I feel really stupid, by the way, because when we were talking about Lindsay's career, we forgot Freaky Friday.
Oh, boy. Did we do that on this show?
No. Never haven't.
Oh, cool.
You got that to look forward to.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we should do like a Lindsay something.
I want to get out.
Lucky Lucky.
Where's my fertility vase up at the sink?
Take me away.
I think this movie's just the bee's knees.
Yeah.
It's really good. Oh, you pointed this out over text. Uh-huh. It's shot on film.
Okay.
That's great.
Because we were rewatching and I went, Jesus Christ, has it just been so long since I've seen this that everything looks really grainy? Or was this, for some reason, shot on film?
Not for some reason. It was 2004.
That makes me feel
old.
So fucking old.
There wasn't, digital cameras weren't film quality yet.
Yeah.
Do you remember, the Red camera came out when we were in college and it was like, oh shit, guys, you can film on digital.
Wow.
You smell like a baby prostitute.
And then like Roger Deakins was like, people were like, no, film is the only way. And Roger Deakins was like, actually, this is digital's pretty dope.
Pretty
you guys
cool.
hear about the Alexa? And here we are.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Not really required for you to give a speech, so. So good.
God. He is so good. He's so good.
Tim Meadows.
Yeah. SNL. Tim Meadows.
Yeah, I mean, we have Amy Poehler, we have Tina Fey, Tim Meadows, Anna Gasteyer as her mom. You got SNL all over
you
this.
Got fucking royalty.
Mm. Isn't her dad also the dad from Scrubs?
The janitor from Scrubs, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just all comedians.
Is
he?
No. Oh, this is a request from a listener of the show, Sequoia.
Hi, Sequoia.
She wanted to ask, who do you think is the meanest?
How could it not be Regina? Let me think about this.
Well,
a lot of people, I mean, there is the, everybody's using each other. Lizzie Cap, I forgot her name.
Janice Ian
is
revenge.
Using Katie
like
for revenge. It's the do revenge story. Yeah. Katie is literally poisoning someone.
Yeah. and like Regina bringing George, down her entire life.
Regina George has been compared to Hannibal Lecter. So yeah. Who... out of
shit, maybe Katie is the worst.
I do. This has been argued before because here's the thing about Regina is that yes, she is mean to everybody else, but we see her earnestly trying to welcome in this girl and give her the makeover, give her the advice. Yes, she plays with her because she still wants to control her, but she's not ruining the lives that we can see. We've heard that she's ruined Janice Ian's life and reputation, and that's why she's an outcast and a goth girl, apparently, because she said she's a big old lesbian, which turns out not to be true, which is very funny. Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe Katie is the worst.
Regina George versus Katie. It's kind of like when the U.S. overthrows a dictator, and you're like, this guy's really bad. But then a militia comes in, you're like, fuck, boy. We created chaos and this one's worse.
I've got to say it's got to be Regina because Katie wouldn't have to do what she does if it weren't for how bad Regina had made it.
Oh, you're going with the
we
didn't start the fire argument.
Yeah.
I don't know what that argument is, but yeah.
Yeah, Regina, I would also say Regina because she is chaos and she represents chaos. In a way where she doesn't have a reason for doing any of this stuff.
She's just rich and bored.
She is just rich and bored.
And
she
wants to maintain power.
This is definitely a through line I'm stealing from Sequoia because we talked about it this morning. But like
Smart
even
girly.
Still, it she doesn't have a want. It's just to put
power.
Her want is to put other people down.
She's pure sociopath.
She's a pure sociopath.
I mean,
we compared her to Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, never forget.
Katie though is like. She plans and is conniving in a way. Like, she literally has a board, which is like, get rid of her hot body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get rid of her
Army
friends.
Army of skanks.
But like, that is all Janice Ian.
Exactly.
All of that stuff is Janice's
stuff. But Janice
stuff.
Is playing off of revenge.
Yeah.
She was wrong.
Playing with, you know, I would put Katie's third. I would say it is Regina, Janice, and Katie.
I think that women need to start supporting women.
This movie proved that.
We need to support. We can't tear each other down.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are like staunch feminists. Pro, there's enough room for all of us. Pro, good for her, not for me. Which is why this movie coming from that is so funny. Because at the end of the day, right? Like when we cut to the later, you know, their senior year, we see that the Plastics have been disbanded, but of course there's a group of freshmen that are going to become them, that there will always be cliques. But if you're lucky enough to disband that myth while you're still in high school, I think you'll better be set up for the rest of the world.
Yeah, you grow up.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to touch on was the Lebanese versus lesbian theory. so there is a... Sorry. What's going on?
Oh, that's so cool.
There is a whole...
I feel so stupid.
There is a whole theory and underlying, and I think is purposeful, where Janice Ian at the end says that she is Lebanese. So if her and Regina George met in middle school and she said that she's Lebanese, it is very common for a young person to think that you said lesbian. And so I am going to then tell everybody that you are a lesbian.
Wow.
And so that's where their whole thing came from, which
she
is
says I'm Lebanese.
I'm Lebanese.
At the end,
oh my god, that's so funny.
Evan G comes up to her and like hits on her. He says,
Puerto Rican.
Is she like, goes, I'm Lebanese. I'm Lebanese. He goes, okay,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's like a Get Out level.
That is a crazy detail. Twist.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but like, you do pose a good question of like, is this a guilty pleasure movie?
To me, I know. I think that it is an absolute firm pleasure because you don't watch it feeling any sort of guilt. Now, we can look back and say some things have aged
poorly,
which is unfortunately true of a lot of comedy, but there's not an ounce of me that would ever agree to anyone calling this a guilty pleasure. You, of course, can vote.
No, I mean, like, it is really campy. Like, it does toe the line of, like, you're saying absurd things. Like, there are some lines that, like, isn't really real world aesthetic. But, like, is this the definition of a guilty pleasure? I think we've established that for it to be guilty, it's that you don't want people to watch it. And for me, I'm like, it's a guilty pleasure. And I want you to see it and love it and make it a cult classic.
Interesting.
So like in that regard, I think it is a guilty pleasure because it is the film that I'm like, I'm watching it no matter what time it comes on, where it's on. And I might not be telling people this is the 100th time I've seen it because I've seen it so many times I should stop watching it. But I will continue to watch it.
Fair enough.
I think it might be a guilty pleasure for me.
No, I think it's a full pleasure. I think it definitely set the precedent for what this style and genre of movie can be. I think that this is like such an airtight script. You don't even realize that they crammed so much material into 90 minutes. It is an hour and a half, an hour and 37,
yeah,
I think.
It's tight.
It's an airtight thing. Everything has an out. Every scene has a point and a purpose. And they got away with voiceover. Like I think it's very good and very well done.
I fucked up this show and we were supposed to do fun facts first. So let's do it.
Oh, there weren't any. Okay.
Cause we got some good ones.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lilo first read for Regina George.
Sounds good.
I did know that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. The casting team felt she was closer to what they were looking for Katie. Mm-hmm. And that Lohan also feared that being a mean girl would harm her reputation in future movies. Rachel McAdams, meanwhile, they felt that she had the fact that she was kind and polite made her perfect to then play such an evil-spirited character.
Okay.
They had Blake Lively was considered for Karen Smith.
Okay.
I would watch that.
That'd been cool.
Yeah. But Amanda Seyfried, who also read for Regina, the producers then were like, no, this is our Karen because of her, quote, spacey and daffy sense of humor.
Daffy.
Lizzie Kaplan was not the type they were looking for, but when they saw her, they were just like, wow, yeah, no, she's got
it. She's not sweet.
They were
just the way she says that.
The director really wanted, quote, a Kelly Osbourne like actress.
Huh.
But they picked her because of her ability to portray raw emotion.
I mean, she gets a little Kelly Osbourne.
You can tell in the way that they styled her.
Yeah. They're the bangs.
They dressed her in a way.
Yeah. Other people considered, you got James Franco, who was considered for Aaron Samuels.
I believe it.
James Franco was considered because of his resemblance to Faye's longtime SNL buddy, Jimmy Fallon.
There it is.
Oh, interesting.
And then Jonathan Bennett actually replaced someone who was fired at the last minute. Can you imagine getting that call?
Huh.
Fired at the last minute. Do we know who that is?
No, unfortunately doesn't
that
say.
That sucks.
Yeah.
There were a couple changes made to keep this from being rated R. So one of my favorite lines, she made out with a hot dog, was originally... she masturbated with a hot dog.
Oh.
Nice.
Which is raunchier. And then there's one scene where they walk in on Jason and Gretchen kissing at a party. Originally, she was sucking his dick.
Oh, wow.
What?
Okay.
That would have made it a little more insane.
And then they found it really difficult to keep the wide-set vagina joke to receive a PG-13 rating. But they argued that the movie Anchorman also had similar dialogue and received that rating, so they were able to push it through.
Nice.
Alt casting. Evan Rachel Wood was offered a role in the film. She turned it down.
Westworld.
And is then it Breathe Me? Anyway.
This one hurts. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Miss Ramona Flowers herself, was asked to audition for Gretchen Wieners, but her mom didn't like the script, so she declined.
Wow. Okay, fair enough.
That hurts.
Her mom said it was like too raunchy.
I guess.
Yeah.
Tell me about my pleasure.
My pleasure.
These are things in media that we are enjoying. Little wrecks to keep you going through the week. I'm gonna hit one. This episode is coming out long after it. But right now, for us recording this, there's a new movie. I'm not telling you to go see this movie. I'm not telling you not to see this movie, but Charlie Day made a movie that is so clearly and evidently, and to his admission, a love story to the movie Being There with Peter Sellers. It is a phenomenal movie from the 70s. And so honestly, go watch Being There. This movie kicks ass. It is about a simple-minded gardener who was raised on cable TV, and people within the Washington aristocracy mistake how stupid and simple he is for him being profound, and he rises to the top.
Oh, this is what that movie that Charlie Day just did is made off of, but I told you it was so bad I had to walk out the middle of it.
Yes,
oh boy. I walked out in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Bad. Don't go see that. That's not my pleasure.
Yeah. But being there, it's really just so good. Peter Sellers, it's one of his best performances, which is saying a lot, and it has a final shot that still rocks me every time I think about it.
My pleasure for this week is a book that came from Book Talk. I am very deep into Book Talk, especially into like the YA world. There's a one that I'm currently in the middle of, so I haven't finished it, but I hear the ending is cry cry, and it is called Every Last Word. And the main character, whose voice we are inside of, deals with panic attacks and OCD behavior, and they portray it. I was trying to say depict and portray, so that's a new word, in a very real and awesome way. So that's my rec.
Nice. What's up, weebs? Go watch Suzume. That shit is fucking a slapper and it fucking bangs.
It looks
it's
so
really
good.
Sad.
What is it?
So there's this I blank on his name, but there is a guy that they're calling the new Miyazaki.
Miles is excited,
and
he directed the other movie that I'm blanking on.
Your name. But it is it's definitely very inventful. It's very beautiful. It is. I'm kind of having a hard time even speaking about it.
They played a trailer for it before a movie I saw, and it was so clear that they had no idea. They were just like, this is beautiful. We're just going to show you a montage of shots.
Yeah.
Just
trust me and watch it. There's no way to talk about it without being like, oh, this is going to, you know, spoil the situation, or this is going to ruin your viewing of it. Go into it blind. Watch it. Just watch it as a piece of art and a piece of media. Don't try to like think, oh, this doesn't make sense, or I don't understand what this reference is, or where they're going with it. Trust me, it leads to a point that is phenomenal. But yeah, it is very pretty. It'll make you weep hard. So Suzume is really good.
Crying.
Yeah,
that's our frickin' show, gang, and of course, our hot ass Guilty Pleasures merch
took it off already.
Is available at tryguys.com/guilty. I don't know. Garrick's got some shows around LA you can go see.
Yeah. I don't know where they are. But,
but go see him.
Go check it out on Instagram. He'll tell you where he's going to be. That's the show.
That's it.
I'm at Corny and all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow and all the things.
I'm Garrick Bernard and all the things.
And until next time.
You can't.